From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is up, beautiful people? Happy Tuesday, happy Tuesday, happy Tuesday. It is November 11th, folks. Man, oh man, we got a lot to talk about on today's show. I'm excited about today's show because we invite a coach who is really just turned around a program that hadn't had much success prior to these past 2 years. Now, if you've been following this team, you know, again, other than these past 2 years, you know, this team has been struggling year by year by year. And it wasn't until 2012 that he was actually hired. He came in and was trusted to sort of turn around the program. He replaced, if this name rings a bell at all, folks, Craig Benton, who coached the Greyhounds to a 1-8 mark in his only season prior to the new coach, who again has turned around the squad. Smith was an assistant at Grand Ledge in the fall of 2011 after serving as an assistant at Olivet College. Folks, we welcome Mike Smith on today's show. Mike Smith is a head coach of the Eaton Rapids Greyhounds. Yes, the same Greyhounds team that will be playing Edwardsburg in the Division IV Regional Championship in just 3 days. Yeah, Mike, I mean, if you ever ran into Mike or talked to Mike, I mean, man, he is one of the kindest individuals you ever meet. I've had the pleasure of meeting him, and this is going to be the first time that he's going to be on the show. So that will be coming up. You don't want to miss that. They are just coming off a comeback win over Battle Creek, Harper Creek. So Mike is going to talk about how it feels just to bring some type of success to this Eden Rapids Greyhound football team. Now, last year, they were knocked out of the Division III Regional Championship by a score of 49-0 against the powerhouse that is DeWitt. Now, if you've been following high school football from around the area, you know that DeWitt has been eliminated, folks. Yeah, DeWitt, a team that I had going all the way to Fourfield, and many people did, looking at how they had competed all this season. DeWitt is out. Ousted by Mason. Mason High School, they come up with arguably their biggest football win in the history of that school, in the history of that program. My goodness. Van Hagel, he's doing a great job, outstanding job over there in Mason. But yeah, so DeWitt's out of it now. And you got, like, I believe there's like seven local teams left in the running. And yeah, Grand Rapids is one of those. Eden Rapids is one of those schools. So yeah, you don't want to miss that interview. It's going to be a fantastic sit-down with Mike Smith. And happy Veterans Day, folks. This is a day where we want to acknowledge all of those who have served our country well and those who are still serving our country. From the bottom of our hearts, we really appreciate all that you guys do. I think this should be a daily thing where we honor those who are currently serving or who have served our country, because it is so important. Without you all out there, we would not be privileged to enjoy the freedoms that we have as Americans today. It is certainly a coveted day in our nation's year. And we want to just give a hats off on behalf of everyone here at Current Sports to all of the veterans out there. It's a fantastic time, and I believe we should do this every day, where we just kind of just celebrate those who have served our country and done it in a way that is certainly admirable, to say the least. So in honor of Veterans Day, though, here on Current Sports, later on in our third segment of the show, we are going to be talking about athletes, former athletes who served our country. And there's actually a huge, huge list, folks. I didn't realize, you know, when I'm sitting there trying to put together the schedule for today's Current Sports, I'm like, okay, it's Veterans Day. We got to do something to honor the vets, right? So, I'm sitting there wondering, I mean, how many athletes have previously served in the military and fought for our country? And, you know, just looking back in history, there are so many. It really just kind of blew my mind when looking up this and doing my research on this, just how many and how many iconic athletes have had previously served our country. I mean, you're going to get to hear one incredible list. I'm going to get to hear a few bites from those very athletes themselves. So you don't want to miss that. And folks, if you do have an athlete or know of an athlete that, you know, previously served our country or is serving our country, who knows? Give us a call. I would love to hear about them and honor them on the show today. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. You can call in and give your thoughts on not only that, but anything that we discuss here on today's show. And our Top 5 Tuesday, again, we'll get to athletes who served our country in just a sec, but even before then, we'll bring you a special Top 5 Tuesday. Now, on our weekend winner segment during yesterday's show, you know, we try to, every Monday, recap the entire sporting weekend and kind of call out some of those individuals, those athletes, those coaches, those programs who had the best weekend out of everybody. Now, not only do I give you my, you know, my weekend winners yesterday, of course, one of mine was the Los Angeles Lakers. The LA Lakers have finally got out of that funk and finally won a game against the Charlotte Hornets over the weekend. Of course, the Lakers had started the season, their worst start since the 50s, folks, but they finally get a win. So, hey, Kobe Bryant and company getting their first win. I definitely thought that was worthy of a weekend winner. My other weekend winner, of course, happened to be the Detroit Lions, as they are 7-2 for only the second time in this franchise's history, dating back to the 50s. How about that? The Detroit Lions are turning a lot of heads, so naturally it had to be one of my weekend winners. But not only do I list weekend winners, but I also like to list the weekend losers. And for those who tuned into yesterday's show, I called out the running back. Well, actually, no, not the running back, the wide receiver for Utah. If you know, Utah was playing Oregon on Saturday night, and the Utes actually had a one touchdown lead over Oregon at the beginning of that game, and they had an opportunity, a golden opportunity, to go up two touchdowns on the Ducks, and all of a sudden, you know, it's this beautiful pass right down the middle to one of the Utes' wide receivers. He takes the ball all the way to the end zone, and immediately starts celebrating the touchdown. Now, what happened? That's all fine and well, you know. No, he went untouched all the way to the house. The thing is, he dropped the ball, folks. If you happen to see this, he dropped the ball at the 1 yard line. I kid you not. Now, the rules in football are, you know, the ball has to cross the pylons. You have to cross the plane. You have to break the plane with the football, and then you score those six. That didn't happen. He drops the ball at the 1 yard line. The refs do one incredible job of spotting that the ball didn't cross the goal line. So the Utes are celebrating. The refs are not blowing their whistles or signaling the touchdown signal. And all of a sudden, Oregon picks up the ball and runs it all the way back the other way for a touchdown. Yeah, that's just another case of celebrating prematurely in sports. I've seen it countless times. Many comedic instances throughout sports where athletes just celebrate at the wrong times or have just, frankly, bad celebrations. So for Top 5 Tuesday, we like to have a lot of fun each and every Tuesday. We're going to list the worst celebrations in sports history. The top five worst celebrations in sports, folks. That should be a fun one. I've got a pretty funny list, so you don't want to miss that. Again, if you have a moment where, you know, if you happen to be watching the game and said, what is this kid doing, and he's just celebrating prematurely or just had a bad celebration, hey, give us a call. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. We'll also talk about the Pistons falling to the Chicago Bulls. Man, oh man, did Derrick Rose look good last night. I tell you, when Derrick Rose is healthy, he can't be stopped, man. I mean, I don't care how many people you try to put on him. I don't care what scheme you try to come up with. Derrick Rose is a gem. He just got to stay healthy, folks. But he torched the Pistons last night. Pistons actually had a chance to win that game. I'll bring up a moment, the key moment for me when watching that game, that led to the Pistons' demise as it trickled down. We'll talk a little Pistons. We'll also talk about what Carson Palmer being out for the year with a torn ACL for the Arizona Cardinals. We'll talk about what that means for the Lions this Sunday. So you don't want to miss all of that discussion and so much more. But to start our show, definitely want to talk about some MSU football briefly. I'm just getting back from Spartan Stadium from covering the Mark D'Antonio Tuesday morning presser. And D'Antonio, of course, had a lot of things to say concerning the year, concerning what this team plays for now, concerning Darian Hicks, who seemed to be targeted throughout much of that game on Saturday night. So, you know, really the things that stood out to me when hearing Coach D'Antonio address the podium happened to be that, you know, D'Antonio is a guy. I said this yesterday. D'Antonio has always been a guy who looks at the glass as half full. But at some point, you got to be real with yourself and say, yeah, this was a golden opportunity that we missed out on. And he certainly addressed it. He didn't beat around the bush. He was just 100% real with it. D'Antonio, one of his quotes here, quote, "You have to gain something from everything. Adversity is going to cause you to get stronger." And he also went on to say, when talking about the Big Ten and just where Michigan State ranks as far as other teams are concerned in comparison with the Spartans, D'Antonio still believes that this is the, you know, they still have a possibility of being the best team in the Big Ten. Now, seeing as though record-wise, yes, Ohio State is the top dog in the East. Looking at the rest of the schedule, Ohio State will probably, there's a good chance that they'll probably win out and play in the Big Ten championship game against whoever's top dog in the West. But D'Antonio said, quote, "I still believe we have the possibility to be the best in the Big Ten. I think we'll go to Maryland and play." So you know what that means. D'Antonio, from a perception standpoint, he knows they missed out on a big, big opportunity there. But at the same time, he thinks they will rebound and they will still prove that they are one of the best in the nation. It's tough to argue when you come off a game like what happened on Saturday. But again, D'Antonio is the glass is half full. He's that type of guy. You know, I really appreciated how D'Antonio was really real, you know. And he talked about how the Spartans compare to other teams who may have had a bad outing. I mean, every Saturday is separation Saturday now from here on out, folks. It is getting into the nitty-gritty of the year where you legitimately can start making cases for certain teams to be in that 14 playoff based on how each of them perform week to week to week. Right now, I guess locks that you can consider, you know, Mississippi State, without a doubt, they play Tennessee Martin on Saturday. Actually, you know, look a little iffy at the beginning of that game, but they proved that, hey, they're for real so far this season. You got FSU, you got Oregon, even though they had the blunder at the beginning of that one, they still, hey, looking at the scoreboard, they still look good, folks. Auburn is out of the mix now, seeing as what happened with Texas A&M on Saturday. And Auburn actually had a chance to win that game, too. You know, coming down to the final moments of that game in the red zone, they happened to fumble the snap, and Texas A&M recovered. But Auburn's now out the mix. Notre Dame. How about Notre Dame just getting shellacked on, just getting pummeled by Arizona State? How about that? I tell you what, the Big 12 is making certainly a very, very strong case. So, you know, looking at that, Baylor, an impressive win over Oklahoma. So, right now, just to kind of put, you know, just looking at those few games there, I mean, there are a lot of teams out there that are starting to make a strong case. And now it's even debatable now, depending on how Ohio State finishes out the year. Let's say if they do win the Big Ten championship, do they deserve to be in the Big Ten championship? Now, me personally, looking at Ohio State, looking at the conferences they play in the Big Ten, I don't know if they deserve to be in that 14 playoff, even if they were to win the Big Ten championship. You can certainly make a case. But again, they had a blunder against Virginia Tech where they didn't look great. They had an iffy game against Penn State where they kind of dodged a bullet in that game. But, you know, near the end of the year, they start to just click. They're clicking right now, folks. They are clicking on all cylinders right now. So you can definitely make a case for them. But I'm not sure how strong it will be in comparison to other teams playing in stronger conferences. But D'Antonio went on to say, quote, "Things change. I think that's the reality of college football. There are a lot of teams looking around and saying, what do we do now?" So as far as what Michigan State plays for now, they play for, one, I have to say pride. This is a team that is very prideful. They wear their success on their shoulders because of many things. You know, I looking at just the history of Michigan State in the national eye of college football, Michigan State is certainly in that conversation now in that conversation now of being one of the best year to year to year when you talk about consistent success. Now, as far as where that alludes to, hey, you know, they got to win out for the season. They got to win out for the season. And doing that, it shows, I think it can help a few aspects here. I think it can help Michigan State football as far as recruiting goes. Because let's say they go and beat Maryland. They go and beat, you know, Rutgers. They go and beat Penn State. That still looks good. I still think, you know, where they at now. So let's see, that'd be 7-8. That'd be a 10-2 year. I think a 10-2 year is not a bad year, folks. I don't think it's a bad year. Ideally, and I'm sticking with my guns, folks, I still think it's a failure compared to what this team was shooting for, compared to what opportunity they had, compared to even last year. When you were in a Rose Bowl, you want to climb that next mountain. And if you don't, it's certainly a disappointment. And D'Antonio said exactly that today in the presser. But now you have to look beyond that. You got to look beyond that, and you got to finish out the year strong. So now you vie to play in a big-time tier bowl, a big tier bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, you know, I don't know, the Cotton Bowl, and just try to finish it out strong. So that's where the expectations lie for this team right now. You can't cry over spilt milk. The milk is already on the ground, folks. Again, give us a call, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll take your calls and discuss anything that is on your sports noggin. Well, without further ado, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. It is actually his first time being on with us here on WKAR AM 870. Now, folks, if you've been following the high school football scene, Eden Rapids has been having such a magical year so far. Now, on Friday, Eden Rapids scored touchdowns on back-to-back plays in the final 2 minutes for a 20-10 comeback win over Battle Creek Harper Creek in the Division IV District Finals. Now, the win sends the Greyhounds to their second regional final appearance, the only two in school history. So this year and last year, folks, is the only time that this team has sniffed the regional final. They will play Edwardsburg on Friday. Big game. Have the privilege of welcoming Mike Smith, head coach of the Eden Rapids High School football team. Mike, how you doing, my man?
I'm very well, Al. Thank you for having me. It's quite an honor.
Oh, man, it's I tell you what, looking at the year you all have been playing, truly remarkable. Now, Mike, I want to talk about the game on Friday to start our conversation here. You guys taking on Battle Creek Harper Creek. It's a game where you guys are down. And, you know, 2 minutes left, and you guys come all the way back and battle through adversity to come through in that game. Now, it's so remarkable because looking at the stats here, your defense played well throughout most of the game. But it really came together during the second half when you guys needed it most. After allowing 123 yards of total offense in the first half, you guys only allowed 29 yards of total offense on three drives during the third quarter. What seemed to click in that second half for you guys, Mike?
Well, I think in the second half we had, you know, sometimes defenses can get settled in and as we did, and we played very, very well, because we looked at their last three films and they hadn't thrown the ball but 7-8 times total.
Oh, wow.
And they threw 20 times against us. So is that, you know, that's a credit to our defense with them having to do something that maybe they weren't as comfortable with as running the ball. And it came down to our special teams played very well, and it came down to some field position and they got the ball and it was on third down with about a minute and a half to go, and they threw the ball on third down rather than just running the clock out, because we'd had to use our last timeout. They'd maybe had to punt if they hadn't got it and then go from there. But the thing is that they decided to throw the ball, and our defensive got in, our defensive end got in and tackled them right at the cut him right in half, and that took something off the ball, and our guy intercepts it, goes down to the 5-yard line, and two plays later we score. Then after that we kick off, and they have to throw now because now they're down 14-10, and they're down 14-10, and our defensive end jumps up, knocks the ball down, and magically the ball goes right straight down into our linebacker's hand, and all of a sudden he runs it in from about, oh, maybe 20-25 yards. And it's funny because I told everybody between our defensive end and our linebacker, if we added up their 40 times, it'd be about a 14 second thing. So the thing is that's the wonderful thing about high school football. I mean, you do some magical things. And then after that, we kicked off again, and then they threw another pick, and the same kid, this James Cruz, picked off two, and I think we scored two touchdowns within 40 seconds.
That is unbelievable, Mike. And it just seemed like the stars just seemed to align in that second half for you all. Now, when you guys were down in that game, for you, Mike, as a coach in a very big game, I mean, it's win or go home during this time of the year.
Correct.
As a coach, Mike, how do you deal with that type of adversity in getting your team in the correct mindset to not panic?
Well, you know what? I think it was, I think the perfect play that put it all in perspective for me was the winning touchdown. I called a play that was off tackle, like to the left. Mm. And our running back cut it back over the right guard. And he was like five gaps off of where he should have been.
Oh, wow.
But the thing was, our right guard kept moving his feet and pinned the guy in front of him in the end zone. And our back saw that and cut it back over one of our guys that, even though it wasn't going over him, kept trying 100%. And is it even though the guy was away from the play, our guy just kept his feet going and buried this guy, and that's where the touchdown was scored. And to me, it was all about not quitting regardless of where you were at.
And I tell you what, Mike, that is a perfect example of just how resilient your boys are, but just how bad they want this now. I get a feeling now. When looking at the past 2 years, you guys getting to the regional finals now, back-to-back seasons, don't you get a feeling that this team sort of wants to get over that hump and really wants to get to Ford Field more than ever now? They're not just happy with just getting back to the regionals, right?
Oh, yeah. Only because the team we lost to last year was DeWitt. And DeWitt, and there's no shame to losing to a great program like DeWitt, except the fact that we lost to DeWitt. Mm-hmm. And these guys know what it takes now. And last year, everybody was saying, "Oh, Cinderella season, Cinderella boys." And since then, we've raised the bar. And the bar is, let's not be surprised we make the playoffs anymore. Let's not be surprised that we do well during the regular season. Let's expect good things when we work hard. And our boys have. And so. I couldn't be prouder of them. They've done just a marvelous job of everything we've asked them to do. I've got 17 seniors, and if it's going to happen, it's going to happen this year.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're just now joining us here on Current Sports, we are chatting with Mike Smith, the head football coach of the Eaton Rapids Greyhounds. Now, Mike, as I stated in my intro to start the show, kind of a prelude to our conversation. Now, you took over this program in 2012. You've been here the last two seasons now, taking over for Craig Benton. Now, I got to ask you, when looking at the state of this program, because again, this win on Friday marks your guys' fourth ever win in the playoffs in the history of this school.
Right.
When you took over this program, Mike, and looked at, the state it was in, how did you go about trying to change a culture? A losing culture that has been around that program for a while.
Well, what I did was, the very first people the very first people that had to change was us. I mean, the players had to change. We had to do. I mean, is it like he said? Is it, you know, we aren't good enough to look at film and say, okay, let's strategize to see how we can beat this team. We have to do better at what we do. And the kids bought in, and their naivete was so great that I remember after we run our first playoff game last year against Charlotte, we're on the bus going home, and one of the kids comes from the back and taps me on the shoulder and says, "Hey, coach, how many more games do we got to play till we get to that Ford Field?" and I'm laughing and I'm going, "Well, that would be three more, and then that fourth would be in Ford Field." Mm-hmm. And he goes, "Okay, coach, that's great. This is fun. Let's keep doing this."
They like winning, right?
but they were just heart attack serious about, is it, you know, this is fun, and they would literally look at us as coaches and look at me and say, you know, is it, you know, okay, whatever you tell me, if we do this, we'll win, right? And I just kind of chuckle and say, well, yes, that's right. But the thing is, I played freshmen and a couple sophomores and a whole lot of juniors last year, and now we've got 17 seniors and a bunch of some younger kids as well, and they're not playing like they've never won games before anymore.
Yeah, they certainly are playing like they've been there before, Mike, without a doubt.
Exactly. It was just mainly changing the culture from what we do every day, as opposed to trying to stop somebody else's, whether it be a wishbone or a wing tee or a spread offense. It really doesn't make a difference if you're not a good player. We needed, our goal was, let's improve every single day. And we all make mistakes, and I tell them, I make mistakes too. But the thing is that we need to learn from it and hopefully not repeat those mistakes, because there's always going to be somebody bigger and faster than you. But the thing play after play after play, if you don't quit, more than likely you're going to get them.
That is such a great message, Mike. Now, you know, there may be a coach possibly in a situation that you were last year. I mean, taking over a program where, you know, just trying to change the culture, culture from where it was to a winning culture. I mean, where do you start? If there's a coach out there listening right now trying to emulate what you have done so far with the Greyhounds football team, where do you start? What's the first thing you do?
Well, the first thing you do is you introduce yourself to the team. You tell them, this is when weightlifting is. This is when I expect you to do it. And you don't necessarily have to be that hard guy, but you got to say, hey, look, you know, when you don't show up, we're diminished. We're a better team with you there. So don't skip out. Don't miss a weight training. Don't do this. Don't do that. And we got to start doing some things together. And it's the same thing with the coaching staff too. I mean, adults are just as bad as kids sometimes. So the thing is, you need to find a coaching staff that thinks along the same lines, but wants to put in the same amount of work that the kids do. And that's hard to find nowadays. And so is it like, and I was fortunate to, be able to pick my own staff and then go from there. And I think lastly is, you know, involve the community and be ready for them and talk to them and go from there. And, you know, even if that's talking to the business people on a Wednesday morning or to get involved, because when we play on Friday, I would be disappointed if we didn't have as much or more people than Edwardsburg. I mean, our city's going to empty. Our city's going to empty, and we're going to be there. And our people believe in our kids. And I mean, is it like we haven't lost at home all year long? And
wow.
And so is it, you know, and that includes the two playoff games.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a kind of thing that we've got a little love fest going on with with the community and stuff. And is it, you know, I mean, all of the Main Street businesses have something in there about go Greyhounds and this, that, and everything. I had a funny story. I stopped in Subway, and this one manager goes, "Hey, look, you know, is it like it's against, you know, corporate policy to do anything to write on the windows? But the thing is, could you have your guys write on the windows after hours?" And I said, "I think that's vandalism. I don't think we can do that."
Right. But, yeah, maybe against the law. I don't know if we can go that far, right?
Yeah. But the thing is that, like, you know, people are willing to put their neck out, you know, to show pride in our kids. And that's and then for me, you know, to come to work every day, I mean, it's easy to come to work in an atmosphere of everybody's in this all together. And that's what it is. You know, I mean, is it everybody's got to be all in. And when you get to be all in, it's a special thing. And I don't know what's going to happen. I Friday, I know that looking at the film, the Eddies have some big folks, and they run that T offense very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
And so is it, and we're practicing all week as they are, and whatever happens, happens. But the thing is that we're going to give it our all and go from there. But the thing is, we're going to come down with, I think our AD says we got 4 or 5 buses coming down, and that's just kids. And so is it, it's very exciting to be a Greyhound, put it that way, Al.
It certainly is. Mike Smith, Eden Rapids High School football coach. Now, Mike, and you talked about the buzz around the community and just how the community has certainly rallied behind this football team and what you guys are accomplishing. Now, you talk about Edwardsburg. I mean, what's the scouting been like for you guys? I mean, how much film have you seen of this team, and what are you expecting from them?
Well, is it like, and we've got enough film to know what they run, and they run a, like I said, they run a double tight, no split T backfield. Throw it maybe 1 or 2 times more than they want to, probably. And is it and they're very, very disciplined, and they're very, very good at what they do. And they got a fullback trap, and they got a halfback lead, and they got a halfback off tackle with the quarterback faking it going around the end each time. And and they got a couple passes to go off it, and that's all they need. And they're very, very good at it. And then they run an even front on defense, and their linebackers flow to the ball very well. And I'm very impressed with their defensive backfield. I think they've got some very good athletes back there.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah.
So is it? Yeah. So it's going to be. And they don't like to kick off. They like the onside kick, and that I don't think they. I haven't seen a field goal kicker. Is it? You know, they just go for 2 all the time. So.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it's. So let's put it this way: if nobody hardly passes, it's going to be a quick game.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And but no, they are. I know they're steeped in their own tradition, and is it we're just starting to develop ours. I mean we're got, you know, is it, you know, every time we do something around here, somebody comes up to me and tells me the latest greatest record we broke, like, is it, you know, it's been 40 years since we've had back-to-back winning seasons. It's been the first time is it obviously the first time we ever hosted a playoff game, and then we host 2 of them in a row, and so is it, you know, so
yeah.
You know, what we're trying to do is change that mindset to where when you work hard all the time, let's not be surprised that we have a winning season. You know, let's not be surprised that we make the playoffs. When I coached in my other school, I retired out of Holt High School, and I was a longtime head coach there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we had a lot of success there, and it got down to the point where if you didn't make the playoffs, well, you know, what's wrong?
It's a problem, right?
Yeah, kind of thing. And is it, you know, when you get to that mentality, and that's where we need to be. We need to have that mentality where, you know, we're going to come at you, and is it, you know, Eaton Rapids is coming to town, and, you know, and expect a good game. And you know, with no silliness, no nothing, you know, we're not, you know, pounding our chest and anything like that. But the thing is that we plan to play for each other and our community.
That is so true. And Mike, I think this conversation is coming at an ideal time. You know, if I could briefly compare it to what's going on with the Michigan State football team right now with their loss to Ohio State. You are a team, again, to bring up last season, a team who made it to the regional finals and came up a bit short against DeWitt, and now find yourself in that position this year. Michigan State, a team who found themselves winning the Rose Bowl, having a ton of success, but their bigger goal was to reach above that, possibly make that four-team playoff and compete for a national championship. Now, I went on the record to say yesterday that it possibly is a season failure. When you talk about those expectations rising this year for the Spartans, for you guys, going to the regional championship, again, if you guys, whatever happens on Friday, let's say on Friday you guys go out there and lose to Edwardsburg, is it considered a failure when you talk about changing that culture, Mike?
I don't think it's a failure. I think it might be, you know, a setback. I think that any time that you get to this point in the playoffs, you know, is it, you know, you know, everybody in your program has done a pretty good job.
Mm-hmm.
And is it now, is it, you know, and I don't even dare to compare us to.
Right.
To,
just an analogy. Right.
Like to the Spartans and stuff like that. But the thing is that, you know, they have that. But the thing is that, like, it's not all done yet. I mean, especially in that college thing, what do they got, like 3-4 more games left?
Yeah, 3 games left,
and
yep.
Is it like, you know, I saw Alabama, and Alabama didn't play particularly well, but still won.
Right.
And so is it, you know, anything can happen, and is it just like our game this last Friday? I mean, is it, you know, if you'd have told me we were going to score, you know, 14 points in the last within a 40-second time span, I'd have said you're nuts. But the thing is, our kids believe that somehow, some way. And the other cool thing about it was there were some kids on our team that didn't play their best game, but there was some kids that played above and beyond what they usually play, and they kind of picked each other up, and mm-hmm. I think that's going to happen. And besides that, you know, I mean, getting back to Michigan State, I don't think their quarterback or that number nine, I don't think those guys could play any better. Those
right.
guys played
yeah.
out of their mind.
That's true. JT Barrett was crazy, man.
And they deserved to win, but the thing is, they played very, very well. And is it, you know, and sometimes. And sometimes matchups are a crazy thing, and so go from there. And they might, you know, and very well, and thing is, and they might play again. So what the heck? But thing is that back to us. I tell you what, is it no, like it won't be a failure. It'll be a setback. It'll be a setback to, you know, doing, you know, to getting to improving. But the thing is that, you know, we've already won one more game than what we did last year. We hosted 2 playoff games. We've done our community and ourselves proud. And sure, we want to win. And we're gonna leave it all out, you know, in between the lines. But maybe it's just because I'm older now. But I look at after a close game like that, I don't even look at our kids first. I look at the other team's faces first. After they lose, and you know, just how crushed they are, and how much it means to them, and is it, you know, maybe that's just the grandpa in me. I don't know what it is, but the thing is that, like, you know, it's you know, there's got to be some humanity in there too, as well.
Right, that is so true.
And so, because the thing is, I remember being at Holt, and we'd play Sexton, and they had just great, great running backs from year in and year out. And we'd go, okay, we got to stop this kid. We got to stop him, and you make him out to be this evil guy that's going to run scores on you. And then the poor kid takes off his helmet, and he's 15 years old and doesn't have one facial hair on.
Right.
And he looks like just a little tiny little, he looks like he's like 8 years old, and you said, you know, I dislike this kid the whole week, and he looks like
he's
like
a baby.
He's in middle school.
Right.
And so is it like, you know, it's, you know, in the end, it's a game. In the end, it's a game and stuff like that. But it's an important game.
Yeah.
It's an important game, and I've been very fortunate to be around some very good people. And it's, you know, and I'm very lucky to be where I am.
Well, Mike, you certainly, you know, definitely have that great balance between compassion and competitiveness. And there is certainly a culture change happening in Eden Rapids. Hey, Mike Smith, folks, head coach of the Eden Rapids Greyhounds football team. From all of us here at Current Sports, we wish you all the luck in the world on Friday against Edwardsburg, Mike.
Okay, Al, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, my man. Gotta love that. Gotta love that. What a great, great interview right there. Mike Smith, putting things in perspective, and I tell you what, this Eden Rapids team, man, if you haven't seen them play, folks, you got to see them play this Friday. Regional championship on the line now, and they could possibly have a shot at Ford Field. The team is very, very talented. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll have Top 5 Tuesday for you. The worst celebrations in sports history. We'll also talk a little bit about the Pistons, the Lions, and also we'll chat about some athletes who served our very country. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Happy Veterans Day, folks. Yes, it's the time where we celebrate those who have served our country. I want to shout out my uncle, Uncle Eddie. Uncle Snoochie is the in-house name we call him in the family. Yes, Snoochie, folks. Long story of how he got that nickname. He's probably upset that I just revealed that. But Uncle Snoochie, happy Veterans Day, my man. He actually is a former military member. And I tell you what, my uncle has stories for days of when he fought in the military. He actually fought in the Vietnam War. How about that? Came home, had a little slight case of PTSD, but got over it, thank goodness, and is doing very well now. But shout out to you, Unc. Thanks a lot for serving our country. Folks, our phone lines will be open up until 2 p.m., 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll be taking your calls on anything you want to talk about. If you want to give a Veterans Day shout out to anybody out there, just give us a call, 517-355-9527. Alex Sharg, we haven't heard from him all hour. How you doing, Alex? Happy Veterans Day, my man.
Happy Veterans Day. Are you doing anything special for it? Are you calling the uncle? And
I am. I will shoot my uncle a call and text. He may be listening right now, so I may have just communicated him in a not hands to hands way. But I'm gonna go definitely give him a call and a text later on.
Yeah.
But I'm just doing nothing but working. I gotta be at MSU men's basketball media availability at 5:45. I'll probably go out to MSU football practice at 4. And I got to edit videos for Current Sports TV. What a great segue, Alex.
That's right.
Sports TV tapes tomorrow night at 6 p.m. I'll be sitting down with Nick Archer, the head soccer coach of the back-to-back state champion East Lansing boys soccer team. Nick and the entire squad will be joining me tomorrow night. If you want to go and be a part of that live studio audience, just simply go to WKR.org. But no, man, I'm just working. What about you? You doing anything special?
Not doing anything too special. Just got some little meetings later today. I'm going to try to catch for Tuesday. I'm sure there's some basketball on maybe tonight.
Oh, yeah,
kick
definitely.
Kick it back. And, ordinary Tuesday, trying to get past hump day.
Yeah, hump day, get here, man. I tell you, my sinuses and allergies are really messing with me, though. But, hey, did you see this moment? Speaking of basketball, though, I thought this was a very cool moment I wanted to bring up during the show because, you know, with everything that has been going on with Michigan athletics due to the just bad season, bad year for Michigan football and the scrutiny that program has been receiving left and right. I thought this was a really cool moment that you have to, you know, take your hat off or tip it to the Wolverines for doing. I thought it was great. Now, it was just a simple free throw in a 43-point blowout. 1 point. But I tell you what, when University of Michigan basketball player Austin Hatch sunk his free throw on Monday, I tell you what, I got a little lump in my throat. Hear this.
at the bottom of the bucket, Austin Hatch has scored for the Michigan Wolverines. John Beilein is on his feet clapping.
And David, I have chills going up and down my body right now.
Yeah, what a moment, folks. If you don't know who Austin Hatch is, again, he's a University of Michigan basketball player who has gone through more than any human being should have to go through in their life. I tell you what, he's 20 years old. He has survived not one, but two plane crashes. I kid you not, folks. Two plane crashes Austin Hatch survived through. If that's not a miracle, I don't know what is. Now, the first occurred in 2003, which killed his mother and his two siblings. Now, 8 years later, a second crash occurred, this time killing his father and stepmother. My gosh, I mean, I could not believe this story when I first heard about it. You can only imagine what this kid is going through. Hatchett verbally committed to the University of Michigan, which happened to be his father's alma mater, shortly before the 2011 tragedy. The basketball standout had averaged 23 points, 9 rebounds per game at Caterbury High School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So he was a pretty good player coming out of high school. Now, the second crash left Hatch with physical and emotional anguish. 2 months in a coma with a brain injury, fractured ribs, and a punctured lung. The pain of losing so much so soon. I mean, my goodness. He had to relearn how to eat, breathe, and walk. Now, eventually, he moved to L.A. to live with his unc and finish high school. He resumed his basketball career at Loyola High School last season, saying he felt blessed to continue playing. Here's another bite from Austin.
What is your relationship like with the players and Coach Beilein?
Family.
I tell you what. That's you know, when you lose your family in something like that, you got to find family elsewhere. And I tell you what, John Beilein and that Michigan ball program has become Austin's family. It was such an unbelievable moment when he went out there on the court. I'm like, oh my! Because I had forgot about the story initially. I'm like, oh, who's Austin Hatch? I actually had to go to Twitter, actually Google the story again to see if this was the kid. And it happened to be, and I just thought it was a very cool moment. How about that, Alex? Did you get a chance to see that? I mean, just hats off to John Beilein in the program. And John actually called a timeout, and he got a standing ovation and pulled Austin out the game. Fantastic story.
Along with learning how to walk again, he probably had to learn how to play basketball too, shooting as well as he did, kind of reclaiming some of those old skills he used to have as a high school basketball player. And the funny thing about it is Austin Hatch was recruited before a lot of this happened. He had the Michigan scholarship going into from his junior year, and he already committed then, Al. So he's definitely been through a lot, and the Michigan coaches have stuck with him through all the thick and thin. So it's not like they just offered him coming after all this. They were with him before this all even happened. So yeah. Props to Michigan and a really good feel-good story coming out.
A very feel-good story. I tell you what, man, I would love to meet that young man one day just to sit down with him and just to pick his brain a little bit. I mean, my goodness. I mean, it goes through something like that, I can only imagine. But definitely want to bring that moment up, folks. All right, well, let's dive into Top 5 Tuesday. Each and every Tuesday, we love to have a lot of fun here on Current Sports where we dive into a Top 5 sporting topic and give you, the Top 5 greatest athletes of all time, Top 5 best basketball players of all time. We love to put a twist on it every now and then, and we're putting a pretty cool twist on it today, and we're going to give you the worst celebrations in sports history. Here is our Top 5 Tuesday, the Top 5 Worst Celebrations in Sports. All right, folks, I tell you what, the reason why I'm bringing this up and wanted to have some fun with this, Alex, is because yesterday I had on my weekend loser list, I had Kalen Clay on my list. Kalen Clay, wide receiver for Utah, who had a beautiful catch, takes it all the way to the house, but happened to celebrate a little bit prematurely, dropped the ball on the one-yard line. If you haven't seen this YouTube, it is everywhere. probably be on ESPN's not top 10 this Friday. But when it happened, Oregon, they realized he didn't cross the plane with the ball and takes it all the way back to the house. There's been so many instances of just bad celebrations at very, very bad times. That being one of them. So we thought, you know, let's dig into history and look at some of the worst celebrations of all time. Now, in no particular order, my list, Alex, I'm going to start with a cyclist. Now, I'm not sure what year this took place, but, when Googling, I just happened to Google the worst celebrations of all time, and this happened to be on just about everybody's list I looked at. And I hadn't seen it until yesterday, last night, actually. Now, it occurred where, you know, there's this race going with cyclists, right? And one cyclist, he's right just about to cross, and this always happens, right when you're about to score or cross the finish line or something, you happen to just, the emotion overtakes you and you do something stupid sometimes. Now, this cyclist was so overcome with enthusiasm for his, about to win, right? He's about to win. He forgot, you know, that he hadn't won yet, and he threw up his arms in victory and promptly crashed to the ground as the second place man was right on his heels. And the guy right behind him zooms right by. I'm pretty sure he was, chuckling it up. But he's lucky he didn't crash from laughing at the first guy, okay? But he ends up crossing the plane and winning. It's a moment that cyclist will never forget. So that definitely is. I forget what year it is, and I forget their names, but that definitely makes my list. You celebrate just so many instances of just celebrating a little bit prematurely, Alex.
Yeah, that's a good one. And for myself, I didn't do necessarily certain celebrations, but I did overall celebrations. So it could be, like you said, dropping the ball in the end zone, which actually was my number one. So counting your eggs before you hatch is my number one worst celebration, because when you think about it with the other ones, you might get a personal misconduct. You might get, you know, a 15-yard penalty, or you might get ejected from the game. But when you're costing your team points, just like this Utah game, that for me is over the top. So that was my number one. But my number five, and this is a particular order, my number five was banging your head into something to celebrate. We saw it was Gus Frat back in 1997 when he celebrated with his touchdown.
Yeah.
Left the game with a concussion. So that was bad. And there have been other instances, especially with hockey, bang your head against the boards.
And a lot of players do. I've seen it happen on the MSU football team, too. And I'm like, man, with everything that we know about concussions, why would you even celebrate like that, you know?
Yeah, but you've seen Brett Favre bang his head into stuff, too. So
that was like the uber testosterone-driven males, huh?
That's
the
right.
Alpha male.
So that was my number five, the alpha male.
Oh, boy. Gotta love that. Yeah, we'll call it the alpha male celebration, banging your head against something. All right. I like that. All right. My next one has to do with DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson, of course, he's a wide receiver now for the Washington Redskins. But before then, of course, he was with the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, in his rookie season, Jackson caught a Donovan McNabb touchdown to put the Eagles up 6 points on the hated Cowboys. Of course, the Cowboys and Eagles don't like each other. They're big rivals. But he didn't score 6 points. Jackson celebrated just a bit too early. Again, it's so many times where somebody's celebrating a little too early. Jackson celebrates a little bit too early before crossing the goal line early, and the 6 points suddenly vanish away. It is one of those moments that DeSean Jackson still brings up to this day. So that's my second one, Alex. What about you?
All right, my number four has to be failed backflips. Remember Marion Barber from the Bears when he completely failed a few years ago?
Yeah.
Oh, that was great. And we've seen it also, failed backflips. We've seen it in baseball. You've seen it a little bit in hockey. You've seen some players try to do the head thing on the ice. So failed backflips is a bad one, man. I mean, that's you know, the backflips, that's a big
one. They do that a lot in soccer, too, right?
Yeah, soccer, too. That's a good point.
They definitely, I feel like every time I see a goal scored, you know, when I do watch soccer, there's a backflip happening. But, yeah, that's a good one. All right. For me, I got to go with what everybody dubs as doing the Grammatica. I forget, what player was that?
Oh, that's so funny. That's my number three, too.
That's your number three?
The Bill Grammatica.
Yeah, Bill Grammatica. Folks, if you don't know, kickers, I feel as though kickers don't get a lot of respect, okay? Not by a long shot. So you really can't blame a kicker for, you know, once in a while getting a little bit over-enthusiastic when he has a chance to put a few points on the board. But in December of 2011, that's exactly what Cardinals kicker Bill Grammatica did after putting one through the uprights. He couldn't help but jump in victory. Too bad he landed and tore his ACL. He was done for the year, folks. And we've seen that with the Lions. What Lion did
Stephen
that?
Stephen Tulloch, man.
Stephen Tulloch. That's who it was. Stephen Tulloch celebrated after a big play on the defensive end. And he celebrates and, ends up twisting his leg. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. So, yeah, it's Dub that's doing the Grammatica now if you're celebrating having a tear your ACL or
yeah,
have a knee
call
injury.
Call it a, yeah, the way I classify this is our celebration pumps.
Right,
you know,
right.
Pumps in the air. Right. Steven Tolak, he didn't jump up and do it, but he just kind of did like a body slam on the ground. He was just like, ah, he puts his 2 feet down,
right,
the arms
right.
out, he puts the chest out. So
exactly. Yeah, that's very, very true. So let's see, to speed this thing up here. If you remember in December of 2010, I'm going NBA on you, Paul Pierce had scored a buzzer beater in a nail biter. It was a nail biting game against the New York Knicks, and his supportive teammate, Nate Robinson, wanted to share his big moment with him. Now, Pierce is having none of it, though. Robinson scaled him like Mount Everest twice. He jumps into his arms, trying to give him the best bro hug east of this side of the Mississippi. But Pierce was unmoved, and Robinson fell face first on the court. Hilarious moment. I remember seeing it. I was dying in tears. I posted that moment on my Facebook wall like 20 times, Alex. Oh, it's hilarious stuff. Paul Pierce is like, get off me, dude. And he ends up slipping and falling on his face. I'm like, you know, it kind of makes Paul Pierce seem like a villain there. I mean, celebrate what you got. You know what I mean? Come on, man. But it's pretty funny. Google that one, folks. That's a good one.
Yeah, then my number two, you know my number one already, but the tongue out. I mean, you saw Draymond do it. You and I were laughing about it recently. I feel like the only person that can get away with it is Michael Jordan with sticking the tongue out. He kind of had that
swagger.
Yeah, but
even him, yeah, it wasn't even celebration with him. It was like, Mike, that's just what he did when he was playing.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right. But a lot of players, yeah. They're even in you know, for basketball, and you see a little bit with soccer too now.
Right.
A lot of players trying to swag jack the tongue sticking out. So.
Right, right. That is true. That is true. Yeah, Draymond Green had an interesting moment when he did that. And actually, I just got some news yesterday, Alex. Pretty exciting. We'll have Draymond Green on the show very, very soon here on Current Sports. So you don't want to miss that. Possibly later on this week. I'm still waiting confirmation. But Draymond Green, who has been tearing it up with the Golden State Warriors. Right now, looking at the ESPN power rankings, the Warriors are top dog. They are rolling. Steph Curry is the top leading scorer in the NBA. You know, he's got to get those turnovers down, though. But still, I mean, Steph Curry, you got Klay Thompson, who last week led the NBA in scoring. This team is rolling on all cylinders. Draymond Green has come in and etched the starting lineup and is doing a fantastic job. So beware for that. We'll have Draymond on later this week or early next week. So you want to stay tuned day in and day out here on Current Sports. Fun stuff. Really quickly, I wanted to get to the athletes who have served in the military. Just to shout out a few that you may not know about. You know, David Robinson, of course, he served in the military. He played, you know, had a great NBA career. Jesse Ventura, he's also one. He was actually a Navy SEAL. How about Ted Williams? A lot of people don't know that. Ted Williams, the great Ted Williams who played baseball. He actually served our country. Jackie Robinson. He also served in the military, actually in the U.S. Army. And also, Pat Tillman. You hear Pat Tillman's name brought up just about every Veterans Day when you talk about those who have served in sports. Joe Louis. How about that? The great Joe Louis. One day after fighting a charity bout in the Navy, Boxer Joe Louis was enlisted as a private in the Army. So hats off to him. And even to round up my list, Joe DiMaggio. His storied baseball career. He won 9 World Series championships and 3 American League MVP awards and was an all-star center fielder 13 times, folks. And he also served our country. So shout out to everyone out there who has served our country or even those who are still serving our country in this present day. We appreciate on behalf of everybody here at WKR's Current Sports, we appreciate everything you've done for our country and everything you continue to do to serve us. Hey, we wouldn't be here without you guys. All right. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to today's Current Sports. Mike Smith. Shout out to Mike Smith, head coach of the Eden Rapids football team. As always, you can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin on WKR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. And as always, be easy, people.